Hi, everybody. This is Gabe Bettis, and I'm the host of the C-Works podcast. And there are many more episodes that will be released, but I wanted to prioritize this one. And what you're about to hear is a conversation with a good friend of mine, somebody who I've had the displeasure of knowing for about 20 years, and that's Josh Cunningham. He's the owner and operator of Cora Cora Coffee, located in New Braunfels, Texas, within the historic Green District. And on Thursday, April 2nd, he and I were able to talk through the computer, and he allowed me some insight into his world. And it's important to understand that at that point, they were about 3 weeks in to what the pandemic was bringing upon us. And the excerpt that you'll hear from the City of New Braunfels announcement happened on March 24th, just to set the stage. I want everybody here who's able to listen to this to have a greater appreciation for what businesses are going through as a result, and even more specifically, small businesses whose job it is to serve a hyper-local community, and in this case, New Braunfels. Take a listen, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Here we go. So let's use that to pivot into or dive into your experiences recently. You know, like maybe the beginning of the year when we didn't really see this. It wasn't as, I don't know how deep you were into when the report started coming out of China, right? That this thing is happening there. Oh, it's a disease. It's nothing. And then how that has changed. Maybe the end of the year of 2019 going into this new year. What was the outlook for you for a report?
So the coffee shop itself, I mean, we had a pretty bad year in 2018. Well, and by bad, it was the first year we didn't grow for the previous year. And the beginning of 2019, we had a whole lot of equipment costs. I got a new machine. I got a new water filtration system, you know, trying to increase quality. But man, I hemorrhaged a whole lot of money that year. But despite that, I had a really great 2019. And going into December was, you know, December is usually our busiest month, and it usually drops off right after New Year's. New Year's resolutions usually kill us, right? It's when gyms are busy, we're slow because people have rebudgeted because they're going to spend less. That's one of their New Year's resolutions. Or they're not going to get the frozen chocolatey drinks. They're going to get black coffee because they're on a diet. They're spending more time in the gym, and people are just had spent a lot of money on Christmas gifts. So they're cutting back. That's usually what happens. But January and February, almost as good as December.
Awesome.
So
I remember we talked about that briefly. Yeah. Now that's recall that. But go ahead.
No, you're right. We did talk about it because I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, I kept waiting for it to happen, and it really didn't. And while you see reports and you know you listen to our political leaders talk about that, you know, it's not an issue. There's no fear. There's nothing to worry about. That. Whether or not I could see or foresee something worse happening, it certainly not. It didn't affect my clientele. You know, we're still middle state. We're still in the South. We're still fairly isolated from what's going on. We're not in New York. We're not in Washington. We're not in epicenters. And even today, there are people that are ignoring a lot of the rules and safety precautions that they really should be. So I think that aspect did not affect the coffee shop immediately, because no one saw it as a danger, so they were going about their normal spending habits. So as far as when it started to affect us, I'd say probably 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Lacey and I, my wife and I went on vacation because I just happened to get pretty much a brand new staff. I've been really lucky that I've had some really quality employees that stayed with me. Uncharacteristically longer than most people do in this kind of job. You know, I had staff that have been with me for 2.5 to almost 5 years. And they all happened to leave just about the same time for all reasons that had to do with them pursuing their careers in different worlds or continuing their education. None of it was, you know, sick of working for me. It was just time to move on. So I had spent the last 6 or 9 months retraining a new staff, and that was, wow, that was really getting to me. And, you know, just the expectation, the quality just wasn't there because they're new. And the other part with having everybody leave all at once meant that, you know, the new people didn't have that old guard or experienced staff to work with to kind of learn when they were out of training, you know, how to keep good habits. You know, when you put a new person in surrounding with a bunch of other people that know what they're doing, they can pick up on stuff. But when you're just surrounding new people with other new people, the learning curve had slowed. So I had been dealing a lot with that, and I had been stressed out about just work in general. And my wife and I decided to go take a trip to Florida and, you know, sit in the sand. And I was nervous about being sick. I knew people were getting sick. I knew that, you know, COVID-19 was out there, but it wasn't really with us. But you're going to airports, and I was making sure that nothing was going to ruin this vacation. I needed the mental health days. And then by the time we got to Florida, it was that week that we started to see that, you know, there were some legitimate concerns for how this was going to affect the United States. And, you know, I think we started to get a taste of that, and we spent a week there. And
you mentioned 3 weeks up until 3 weeks ago. Were you on vacation before that? So maybe at the 4th or 5th week mark from where we're talking now?
Yeah, so it was during spring break. So March 4th through the 10th.
Gotcha. When we were okay.
So we started to hear about it a little bit before, you know, March 4th. It started to get a little heavier that week. And then we kind of got back and hit the ground and realized that, you know, this was coming and there were problems. And, you know, we're trying to... You know, we're a clean coffee shop anyway, and I mean, I don't know if you want to get into this, you know, what's happening right now, but
tell me.
We're a pretty clean place as it were, but it was like, look, it's not just it's not the normal anymore. You know, it's even if we're clean, we need to be more visibly, obviously clean so that we feel that our customers know that we're taking, you know, the extra
right.
steps. They need to feel comfortable
right.
that, you know, we're taking those precautions. So, and I think, you know, so we were taking some little extra measures about how to handle things, but we definitely started to see a drop off in people showing up, you know, by last week.
Or okay.
Probably, no, about a week and a half.
Now,
ago. 2 weeks
ago, last week.
See,
week and a half.
You know, so it's hard, honestly, man, the last 2 weeks have felt like 6 months, and that's it. Like, I don't even know what day it is.
Tell me about it.
Time.
I understand.
It's Plur's day, as far as I know, like every day is like that. So it's hard to manage time because it's felt like so long, but I noticed
like
that
March
after,
61st.
March 61st, I knew that, you know, that by the second week of March that, you know, things were changing. And we were starting to see a drop off, and some of the fear had started coming in. So one of the things that we did, we didn't have any cases in town. So people were just kind of operating like, look, until we start to see some of it, we're just going to operate how we would normally by taking a little extra care and, you know, what we touch and what we wipe down. And you know, but there wasn't quite the craze for toilet paper and sanitizer yet. And, by the time that started happening, you're starting to see people panic buy lots of things. I'm having a hard time finding milk. I'm having a hard time finding other stuff because people are, I'm not sure what disaster you thought milk was going to survive, but I had a hard time getting that for lattes to a point where I had to pay twice the amount of money to get a delivery service just so I could continue serving drinks. But
wow.
When that started happening, you know, we're starting to see the downtrend for sure. Some days were good, but it was dropping, you know, sometimes 60% of what the average for the day was, 70% some days. And some days were about average. But then when we found out that there was the first case in our county, I went ahead and closed the lobby to seating. I put the chairs up. And
you know, we've got a drive-through. Like, anybody made any suggestions or anything like that?
No, they hadn't done it yet. It wasn't a requirement. There were people that were starting to do that on their own in different cities, but not really here. But as soon as we heard the first case, I went and put the chairs up on the tables and tried not to cry about it a bit. Because, you know, I have a drive-through and I work the kiosk, but my favorite part is the cafe setting, you know, where people are, it's so busy that you've got to share a table with somebody, you know, meeting a new friend or getting a new client, and you're getting to talk about, you know, why your latte looks so pretty. Like, I that's the part I really love. And putting that up meant I was starting survival mode. And the next day, the day after I put up the chairs, they had put into effect a law that said that you needed to be drive-through or carry-out only. And so, you know, I've had the community really rally behind me, our regulars, our customers. I think I am doing better than some that are even allowed to stay open at this point, just because people have tried to show us love. You know, that they don't want us to see us go, and they're making extra effort. They're spending a little bit more money. So there are some days where I'm right at par, you know, not better than, but at par for what the day should be. And then there are other days where I'm down to 40% of what the day was. And it's just, it's disheartening. When it started to get another case, I think it was after, you know, somebody that was healthy and got sick, somebody that wasn't, you know, a geriatric, that was otherwise had no pre-existing conditions, got sick, I closed the lobby entirely. So there's no carry out. You can order in and we'll drop it off to you at the drive-through window or the back door, but limiting exposure for people coming in the shop. So the only ones in there now are staff.
Right.
And that's,
what do you do? Do you throw lime on them, or what do you do?
on the staff? No, yeah. I mean, most of the stuff that you read, you know, this is as far as understanding of it, and the understanding of the disease itself seems to be changing, you know, every couple hours. You know, it's droplet form, so, you know, wash your damn hands, you know, so always wash your hands. Disinfect all surfaces. I was lucky enough to, you know, get a couple of supplies from people that weren't so lucky. I got some supplies from a bar that had to close down. You know, bar owner's also my paper supply guy. So, you know, he gave me one of his hand sanitizer dispensers and a couple of backups because he can't use it. So that's allowed me to make sure that, you know, touch surfaces are staying clean. And if we're trying to work through now a drive-through line that sometimes wraps around the street, that we can quickly, if you don't have a chance to wash your hands, you can at least do the hand sanitizer thoroughly.
Let me ask you a question, Josh.
Sure.
So as you're talking about this, because what I'm not hearing, although I could be missing it, is that I don't hear a lot of, unless the health, the food and health department or whatever it's called in New Braunfels or the county is called, it doesn't, are you taking direction from them? Or as I know you to be, you're clearly an intelligent person who can research the shit out of something. Is it kind of a triangulation of both?
No. Or I hear what you're saying. I think the health department in most of these places are just, you know, regurgitating, copying and pasting from the CDC. You know, they're not having anything new. I had the health inspector come in when I had still had the takeout, but I had put the chairs up and, you know, asked us about the outside seating, which technically is the restaurants. I don't, you know, they're nice enough to let us use it a lot of the time, but the restaurant closed entirely. They weren't even getting money doing takeout.
The one next to you.
Entirely closed.
Right.
Yeah. And so I went and put up the chairs, and if I see customers, cause you can't necessarily see the courtyard from inside, but if I pull up for my shift and there are people sitting outside the table, I got to let them know that, you know, look, the health inspector says we can't encourage people sitting outside. Even you got to get your stuff and go home.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
So I feel like we're getting direction and we get emails, but there's not a whole lot new there as far as the precautions that we're taking inside. You know, if you're a food establishment, you should be, you know, you should already have your food handler's license. You should already be practicing this. And that's part of it too, is we were already doing that, but you know, we're all guilty of touching our face, and, you know, teenagers, especially, you know, like it happens. So you've got to beat that out of yourself. You know, don't touch your face, because that's what it's contacted on surfaces. You can't be close to people. That's how it gets airborne, but it ends up staying on surfaces. On cloth, it'll stay on cloth for 3 hours. It'll stay on cardboard for 24 hours, stainless steel and plastic sometimes 72 hours. So those things that we're touching, that our hard surfaces definitely need to get detailed. We stopped having customers touch anything. Right. So we're doing, if they have a credit card, we use our chip reader. We hand it out the window. They dip their own card into it. We take that back, so they're not touching it. We're not touching their card. We turned off the signatures page for our tablet for the drive-through. We turned off the ability for people to choose a custom tip or a percentage tip, which makes things super awkward.
Yeah, because,
it's like, look, I always told when I hired staff, I'm like, look, if somebody gives you change, you say, I'll be right back. You know, if I ever hear you say, do you want your change? You're fired, because it's the presumption, you know, like waiting tables is the same thing. Oh, do you want your change? If somebody did that to me, be like, well, I was going to give it all to you, but now I want it back. So now for their safety and our own health, you know, we're saying, hey, this is the tip page. You tell me what you want to do here. It's not going to hurt my feelings. And, you know, we'll hit the no tip. We'll hit a percentage. We'll hit a custom amount. It's whatever you want. It's taking the extra precaution, not just for our customers, but for us, because if somebody gets sick, man, if one person gets sick with this, I have to close, because we're all interacting with each other. I mean, to a limited portion, but we're all sharing the same space, just the staff. So I know some people think it's an overreaction. I still have customers that, you know, I'm handing out their drink and they're a little too close to me. I'll step back and hand it to them from the base so they don't touch my hand. Or if they accidentally brush my hand, I'm going to go wash my hands. Yeah. If I handle cash, I take it with one hand and I fill out, you know, the rest of their tablet, whether the transaction for the receipt, with my right hand, and make sure that they see that I'm not touching anything. And then people have to wait longer because I'm going to go back to the sink and wash my hands again for 20 seconds. It has slowed down the process a lot, but it's imperative for just the sustainability of the business at this point. If anybody gets sick, I can't make money.
Let me ask you, there's a couple things that themes have come up in what you've been talking about. One, that you're extra careful for obvious reasons, because the potential issues that could arise could essentially shut your shop down. And the other is one of, it's sort of communication. And what I mean by that is that you're not necessarily getting direction from the agency that be, as we were talking a little bit earlier, but rather you take what's being told to you, and then you're doing extra diligence around that to make sure that the policies that you now have, you've had to pivot, and you've benefited, you know, to some degree, from other people's inability to even service their customers. For example, the hand sanitizer you were talking about. But what is, especially nowadays, when you're talking about a hyper local business. So this is a shop that services people in a very specific community in South Texas. And when the city comes out and they make a decree, because it was very obvious, like, hey, we need to shut down the seating area. And that also includes the outdoor one. What about when New Braunfels came out and then made their other announcement? And how did that affect you? And as far as your ongoing operations,
Sherman Krause, Robert Camerino, our city manager, our police chief Tom Weibert, and our fire chief Patrick O'Connell. I'd like to thank city staff for working over the last couple of disaster. I'd also especially like to tell Comal County and the Comal County Public Health Department how much we appreciate their partnership and their leadership during this time. Today, the City of New Braunfels is going to announce a stay-at-home and work-safe order. That order will be effective beginning tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. That's Wednesday, 11:59 p.m. The reason for the order taking effect Wednesday evening at the end of the day is so that the employers and the citizens of New Braunfels, so that they can plan through today and plan through tomorrow in order to comply with this order. Please understand that the order does not affect a number of essential services. It does not impact grocery stores specifically. Please understand it does not impact healthcare-related services. So today is not the time to rush to HEB, Arlen's, any of the number of markets and meat markets in the city of New Braunfels. They will continue to operate. We ask that you follow the guidelines set out by CDC and also by order of the city within the city limits. Maintain 6 feet of distance. Your compliance, your follow-through with this order will benefit us all. This morning we received additional information from our healthcare providers and professionals about the need to
Right, so it went from, you know, a suggested, you know, stay at home, 6 feet apart kind of thing to the stay at home order, and which applied to the non-essential businesses being closed. And that was when, you know, my bar owner friends and my salon owner friends had to shut down. But one thing that happened in town that definitely frustrated me was that there was a Facebook Live meeting with city council that suggested that, you know, stay tuned, we're going to give an update about what the new rules are. So everyone's waiting around for that. And it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're doing a live feed. It's on, but they're not talking yet. They haven't quite gotten it together. And then they spend 10 minutes talking about this new order that's come down from the governor that they're going to implement for city. But they said that, you know, don't worry, we're going to keep grocery stores open. So don't flood the grocery store and, you know, like they're going to be open. Don't feel like you need to panic buy. That's going to stay open. Banks will be open. Hospitals are going to stay open. But all non-essential businesses need to close by 11:59 tonight, which was a day earlier than they suggested they were going to the previous day. And then that was it. And then they were done with their video. And left thinking.
I didn't realize, you know, that's how they addressed it. Damn.
Yeah. And that was the end of the video. And they said, you know, stay tuned or check our city website to get further details. But you go on their website and there's nothing. There's no details. Oh. It's like soon to be up. So I don't know if I have a job tomorrow. I don't know if I have a business to go to, and I'm asking questions from the community. You know, like there's a Facebook page that's directed right now, and they're very successful, and it's been wonderful to do promotions for people to do family deals to help support not only their own businesses but the businesses that rely on them. It's fantastic. But you know, I went on to ask that, like, can anybody clarify what essential employees are? Because based on other cities, and that's what I had to look at. It's like, well, Dallas says that drive-through only is still acceptable, that, you know, restaurants can do that, that coffee shops are. But it was a lot of assumption based on what we think it could be from other cities. But nobody could tell me exactly. Right. And the city didn't have anything up. And it was about 6 hours before they did. And in the meantime, people are hearing that in the evening before they're having dinner with their families. And they assume that, man, I hope I have all of my stuff, because tomorrow, you know, we're not going to be able to have those places.
That's exactly what's going on. Yep.
And yeah, and it was just a lack of communication. And that's a thing. You need, people are scared. People are losing their businesses. People are losing the ability to go out in the community and support the places they love. And if you're not clear and concise, people make assumptions. And that was the assumption that everything's okay from the business owner side. But a lot of the public heard that and assumed they couldn't do anything. And the next morning I felt that. Eventually they put up the regulations that also to me personally seem a little arbitrary. If you're talking about essential services also being food and delivery, but and mechanics to work on your cars, but also car dealerships, furniture stores, real estate. And I'm not saying that I want any of those businesses to close or any of them to fail, but the decision to have essential services be put out so seemingly arbitrary is frustrating. But I think if you're going to make a statement like that, you need to have the information up at the same time. And that was what caused the frustration. It eventually corrected itself, but I went to the store the next day to get stuff for myself. It was a day off. And I saw several of my regulars in the grocery store and like, hey man, I'm so sorry. I got text messages that night. Hey, I'm so sorry. You have to close. And I'm like, man, I'm not closed. I'm not closed. Like, despite what was said, I'm not closed. I'm still open. I'm still operating. You know, the new concerns about what safety was were stuff I was already doing. So come by and see us. And I've got to be diligent on social media all the time, you know, way more than I would ever, just to let people know that I'm open and available and that we're taking extra precautions. Well, so yeah, that part was frustrating. I wish that they had handled it differently. It's over now. It's moot. Like, all the stuff's available. So, you know, I recovered from that. But I assume there were a lot of businesses that took a hit just from a few hours of people not knowing.
Right. That's sort of what I'm getting at as far as communication is concerned. And they're also talking, they leverage the platform that clearly has a lot of interest in it, especially at this level, at the hyper local level. Because you can you know, spread misinformation in a meme, which certainly we've all seen it, but it's going to take a little bit for it to go from one end of the country to the other. But there is a lot of engagement, you know, within the 7813 zip code, and, you know, obviously the surrounding areas that we have, and absolutely, people who are interested in your shop, your patrons of your own shop. So that's, and you know, for me on a personal level, that's pretty irresponsible. And I've experienced a little bit of it. We were talking before we started recording. I see it at the school district level, but in a lot of ways, it's a completely new mode or modal for them to be instructing students. So I'm going to give them a little bit of rope at this point. But anyway, back to you.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That is the issue, is that because it's constantly changing, and it's constantly changing not because of a fault of anybody else. It's just that we all have new information, and it seems to be changing on the medical field, let alone our political leaders, whether national or local. So we all understand that it's constantly changing. So when you make statements about, you know, when life's supposed to return to normal or what the new normal is, and then we know that it's going to change daily, you need to make sure that before you say anything, that's going to be the next thing, even if it's temporary. But make sure that it's universal. Make sure the thing that you're going to say doesn't imply anything. Speak in clear language, because we're all operating under whatever assumptions we know are, you know, it's, all of us is on thin ice. It could come out from under us at any point. So, you know, those people in place that are making these changes, whether they're school districts or for what essential and non-essential businesses are, any other healthcare issues, those need to be stated in verifiable, backed up, and honestly, immediately. So, that's super frustrating. And I hope that they have learned from that mistake and won't be doing that again in the future.
I hope so too, because this is the black swan. And then people, it's sort of like, have you read the story behind HEB? And by the way, for those of you who don't know, HEB is a big grocer down in South Texas. Big grocery chain in South Texas. Have you read about any of that, Josh?
Yeah, about how they have been doing models for epidemics for the last like 9 years, talking about what they're supposed to do, and that, you know, even Arnold Schwarzenegger gave a shout out to HEB about how damn well run it was. Yeah, they're doing an amazing job, and these are people that are getting spit on and yelled at and just. Yep. Good God, you know, it's not their fault. You know, these people working in these stores are putting themselves in the middle for everyone else's danger, that everybody else's sickness, being around people constantly and dealing with people hoarding products that they shouldn't and not having stuff on shelves has nothing to do with them. And the fact that they've done as good a job as they have had everything to do with being prepared in a way that I think we all should have, nationally, statewide, or locally.
Well, back to you guys in your shop. This is something that almost no shop or restaurant has had to contend with. I mean, there's the idea of bringing in a new delivery, right? That's a thing. Yeah. But most restaurants aren't made to pivot to this kind of delivery or this kind of service, if you will. Clearly, you had the drive-through, right? And I don't know if you right away, that's the easiest pivot that you could make. Am I right or no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've turned into a kiosk, and there are several popular ones in town, and they're modeled after Dutch Brothers and other coffee stands in the country. And they're doing well because they're still able to operate that way. But
right.
I essentially turned my place into a kiosk. But good one point. Thing that I'm allowed to do that restaurants aren't, you know, is be able to keep my staff. I know most places, even that have a drive-through option, you know, you don't need 10 waiters working a lunch shift. So they're just laying people off.
Good point.
And I have refused to do that so far. You know, like, I am trying to keep everyone employed because I need the business to pay bills, and so do they. What happens if I don't exist? The same reason why it's not just about your own health and not wanting to get sick and not wanting to get anybody else sick. It's that if you are sick, you can't, you're not earning money. And until these stimulus checks come through, or whatever these new laws for what businesses can or can't do, which really hasn't even been put in place yet.
Right.
They just talk a lot about it, that it's been passed, but you can't apply for them. At least not the PPP, and we can talk about that later. But I'm trying to keep people employed. And it's not just me, it's my suppliers. It's my roaster that's shipping me coffee from Washington or the other one locally. I get breakfast tacos from another local restaurant in town. You know, but I'm not selling tacos. I'm trying not to cut my order down. I haven't cut my order of coffee down. I've just tried to increase my whole bean sales, and I'll ship it to you if you want. But I'm trying not to diminish my normal ordering. I'm trying not to diminish hours. You know, the only thing I asked of my employees were that if you didn't want to work, if you felt like you were unsafe or didn't want to expose yourself to it or were immunocompromised, let me know. You don't have to work. But you know, so far I've only had one employee that said that they would rather not be in it right now. You know, that they had an immunity issue. I said, okay, that's fine. We'll work things out. But
yeah,
when you're ready, let me know. I'll put you back on the schedule. I've had a lot of people call me at the shop asking me if I'm hiring. I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine being laid off and having nothing right now and looking for work because nobody's in a place to hire unless you're HEB. Another great thing that HEB is doing is hiring all these people that are laying off, or answering the phone for Amazon. I mean, it's just
hazard pay, right?
Yeah. Hazard pay, $2 to $2 extra an hour. I mean, HEB is a fantastic model. I'm grateful for them. I've been, getting most of my supplies for the shop from them. And
right.
I'm very familiar with the two HEBs that are close proximity to the shop. And my stepfather wanted to help, and you know, I've got a program that's helping first responders right now, where if you're in the healthcare community or you work in a hospital or you're a first responder, we're giving out free drinks. It's any, awesome. Any coffee, any size. And that had to do with my ER doctor cousin at the Mayo Clinic, who said she wanted to help me and the community. So she put down $2,000 to have as a fund for people to use that are first responders. And, you know, like that makes that possible. I'm going to discount her so that her money can go farther, so I can be a part of her help. But that's on her that I'm able to do that. My stepfather said, hey, I want to do stuff for first responders too. And I'm like, actually, that account's covered. It's not really flying off the shelves right now. We're helping people, but they're just not coming because they're busy. I said, but you know, there are a lot of essential employees that would like to have something like that. So I discounted him also so that I could put some of my effort into it, but I brought 2.5 gallons to each of the two HEBs that have been servicing my needs for the longest time. So that staff has something that, you know, was free and probably better than the coffee that they're having now.
Amazing,
we're trying to do
man.
A promotion. Go ahead.
Tell us. Yeah. What is this promotion? And then I wanted to get into a little bit more of that, but go ahead.
Sure. I mean, the other thing is, again, in keeping people employed, I had access to toilet paper from my paper guy, and my paper guy owns a bar that's now closed in town. So I'm trying to keep buying products from him. We're certainly going through more paper towels so I can keep him busy with that. And so, but he also had access to toilet paper because it's a commercial distribution center and not HEB. So since I had an extra case, we did a promotion where if you bought three or more breakfast tacos, you get a roll of toilet paper. If you spent $15 on coffee, whether it's whole bean coffee or drinks or whatever, you get a free roll of toilet paper. I've got a baker that comes in on basically $10.99 that gets paid per tray of whatever item she's making. And I want to be able to pay her. So instead of buying some of the other products that we have that I get, you know, the more nationally made, if you bought four or more pastries that are made in-house from our baker, you get a roll of toilet paper.
Oh yeah.
Just trying to give out to the community. And it was more of like, look, the people that are coming to see me and come to the drive through usually have means. You know, they're not desperate. They have the ability to do so.
Right.
So it's been, look, get these things and go give them to your neighbor that can't come out. You know, give them to the elderly neighbor that you have that didn't have a chance to get toilet paper. Like go deliver some of this stuff to people that can't leave. Be safe in doing it, but like help each other out. And that way that I can continue to pay my baker to make food. I can continue to have the taco place deliver tacos without cutting down. That my paper supply guy can continue to earn an income. And my paper supply guy also, because of the bar and his connections with the music industry, which they are hit, it, just like salons and bars are, there's no place for people to gather to listen to music. So he's starting a charity drive for musicians. He had been using his supply chain to get basics, you know, staple foods and dropping it off to them. But he made our shop, the corporate coffee shop, a drop-off point for donations to musicians. And we have a lockbox at the drive-thru window where people can drop in cash. And 100% of it goes to musicians or musician industry people. Like, they're not taking any money for themselves to do it.
Awesome. So
the idea is to try to take care of as many people as you can. And I just can't, I'm willing to take a hit personally, but I have a hard time knowing that I could save the business and maybe help prepare for when things are most likely going to get worse by saving money on labor and payroll. But I mean, these people need it too.
Right.
Having that weight, knowing that today might be the day that people run out of their ability to give, you know, they're also not earning money. They've burned through their tax return trying to support me, you know, or they're just not going out as much. So they're buying whole bean coffee and making it at home. So that means I'm not making, you know, 3 drip coffees for somebody to drive through. I have no idea what this looks like day to day, hour to hour, or, and when it's finally going to stop, because I can't see it not coming to a stop.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, we still have the month, right? That at least here in Texas, we got the shelter-in-place order, I believe, or was
Absolutely.
It school through the end of through the month of April?
And it looks like we're gonna get to a place where we might start seeing the worry of exceeding capacity at our healthcare providers. Not until the 18th, you know.
Right.
I mean, when every day seems like a week, like the 18th seems so far away.
It does. It really does.
If you have some sort of sense of normalcy leading up to that, you know, people are going to start, you know, being disinclined to listen to suggestions about what you should do. And, you know, to a certain degree, that means people are still going to be willing to spend money with me and getting out. But at the same time, for those that have been laid off, they don't have the ability to continue to help me out, even though they want to help me with as little as they can because they know I'm trying to take care of the rest of the community. Like, that's a finite resource when you have all these people not working. And it's definitely going to look more like that as it gets scarier, which, I mean, would be great if it didn't. It would be great if the heat killed all this and maybe a miracle happened. But I think the realistic outcome or expectation is that it's going to get worse in the next couple of weeks, which goes into, you know, trying to make use of what's been passed with the new laws for businesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get to a place where I can still take care of my employees, even if they're not coming in anymore, even if I'm just paying them to stay home. But that
Wow.
comes from trying to manage, what these new bills and what these loans look like and what that loan forgiveness might look like and what the regulations are. But the issue is that it's just not clear. It comes back to communication again.
Yes.
You don't know exactly what these look like. And you're not going to know until they get put in place, and they're not going to get put in place, you know, for at least a couple of days, if not a week. And that might be when we start feeling it the most.
We hope that you've enjoyed what you've heard. Since the story or the conversation we had back on April 2nd, Josh has basically been manning the shop on his own and stopped receiving things like credit card transactions and has applied for the SBA loans that have been so widely advertised. Within the stimulus package. We're going to continue to track and see how things are going. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the C-Works podcast. Visit Josh's site at CoraCoraCoffee.com. You can obviously find them on Facebook. And we're going to put some links in the description so that you can support not only the small business of Cora Coffee, but also some small businesses within the New Braunfels area. Thank you for listening in. Tune in for the next one.